Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. Now, for those of you that missed last week, let me take just a couple minutes to catch you up on the current topic. We started last week a message dealing with creationism. Now, if you were not able to listen, I'd encourage you to log into our website and go to the audio section and listen to that first message Pastor Reynolds brought on creationism. And while you're on the website, I'd also encourage you to download a copy of the book called The 6,000-Year Earth. Now, all of that is available completely free of charge on our website, which is independencebaptist.org. Well, before we take up any more time, let's go ahead and turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds as he discusses God's account of creation.
This morning, we'd like to continue on the same topic that we began last Sunday morning, the biblical side of creationism. And we want to take our text again from the book of Psalms, chapter 8, and verse 3 and verse 4. This is a psalm that David, the man of God, wrote. He said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou has ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Today, evolutionists have largely succeeded in convincing people that the world is millions and millions and perhaps even billions of years old. The result of this indoctrination is seen every day as people forsake God, they forsake His Bible, they forsake God's eternal salvation, they forsake God living, and they forsake eternal life. Thousands of people are actually seeking answers to life's troubling questions from social scientists, if we could use that term, and other supposed experts who believe the world is untold millions of years old, but they forsake the one true source of information, the Holy Word of God, the King James Bible. As the doctrine of evolution is accepted more and more today, people have less and less hope. The only hope we, as sinful fallen people, have is of God, who created us in His image and in His likeness. The evolutionist propaganda of no God and no special creation causes people to begin to act more and more like there is no God, no coming judgment. They act more and more as if there is no hell, that there's no heaven, that there's nothing in the afterlife. The result of forsaking the plain teachings of God's Word is clearly seen in our society as crime increases and our society degenerates further and further into the acceptance of that which the Bible condemns. Without the Bible to guide us, our society has come to believe there is no absolute right, there is no absolute wrong. Right or wrong is determined not by any standard of right or wrong, but according to the situation or the whim of public opinion. Therefore, we're living in an ever increasingly dangerous society, a society that has forsaken God, who created us and forgives us of sin, and who judges rightly. If you have ever wondered about how old the universe is, if you've ever wondered how old the earth is, read the Bible. The Bible is God's Word. The Bible gives you the answer. Begin at Genesis chapter 1 and see how God has created the heaven and the earth. Read all of Genesis chapter 1 and read all of Genesis chapter 2 and understand that God created this present world in just 6 literal 24-hour days. Someone will ask the question, well, how long is a day in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2? This is such an important question. I want to cover that point right now before we go any further. Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, read verse 1 through verse number 5. The Bible states, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, we read these verses to you. It will do you well just to read them for yourself. And read them very carefully. Notice the last part of verse number 5. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Let this thought settle in your mind. The evening and the morning were the first day. That means one day. An evening and a morning is still one day. Right? The Jews still count their days by this method. Their days began in the evening, about 6 o'clock. Wow! Our day begins at about 12 o'clock midnight. But that's not when the day really began. Because the day really began in the evening. The evening and the morning were the first day. Now, when God gave the Ten Commandments to Israel, he commanded them to rest on the Sabbath day. Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11 states, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Now, notice what it says in verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. We do exactly the same thing today. We work 6 days, and then we rest on the seventh day. That is what God has ordained. God worked 6 literal 24-hour days and then rested on the Sabbath day. I don't think that God was a bit tired. God doesn't get tired. Now, we may get tired, but God does not. God is not like us at all. God commanded Israel to do exactly the same thing that he did. Work for 6 days and then rest on the Sabbath day. I think that is still good for us today. The purpose of this study is to prove by the Bible that the world is approximately 6,000 years old. When this study is finished, I trust that you will be able to see for yourself that there is a timeline that comes directly from the Bible. There is no need for anybody to ever doubt the age of the universe if you believe the Bible. You can have full confidence that God's Word teaches the truth. Now notice, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20 and verse 21, the Bible said here, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Notice then in verse 20 that the Bible says science falsely so called. And let that settle in your mind. Sometimes people call things science, that are not science. That's really what the Bible says. And the study that we're giving to you is not science. It is a biblical study. And we need to understand that that is exactly what it is. Now, as a youth, I was never taught about creation or evolution. So, when I entered college, I was really taken in by the evolutionist claim of the earth being millions of years old. Because of this, I spent many years in confusion, which is exactly what the devil wants. He also wants you to be confused about the age of the earth. But listen, there is no need for you, there's no need for anybody to ever be fooled by the false claims of evolutionists. There's no need for you to ever be fooled by their false claims. We need to know that all things that are represented as science are not science. Sometimes they are simply men's opinions. We need to learn that all true science is in agreement with the Bible. Now, the Bible is not a science book. But because the Bible contains all true science will be in agreement with the Bible. We need to know that the Bible is our guide in this life. In all things, we need to follow the Bible. If there is any question, the Bible has the answer, even in the area of science. God has not left out what He wants us to believe concerning the creation of this world. He has given us everything we need for time and eternity. Therefore, we know He has also given us all the facts we need about the creation of the world. We can have confidence that the Lord will soon return. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 18, Peter states that scoffers will begin to say the Lord is not returning because all things continue from the beginning of the creation. But this is not so, because all things are not continuing from the beginning of the creation. God did complete all of His creation in 6 days and then rested on the seventh day. Sin and death came into the world after the first week of creation, after Genesis 1 and verse 31, where God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. People who say that all things have continued from the creation are denying that sin and death came into the world after creation. They are also denying the worldwide flood of Noah's day. Understand that this is so. Genesis 1:31. God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. The Bible didn't say it was simply good. The Bible said it is very good.
Well, we've now completed 2 of 3 messages on creationism, and as I mentioned in week 1, we've only began to touch the tip of the iceberg. There is so much in God's Word dealing with His creation and how it came to be. And although this is a topic that's often ignored, there are actually many resources available that the evolutionist would like you not to know about. I'd encourage you to check out groups like Answers in Genesis, or another one called the Creation Institute. Both of these groups have a lot of information available that back up creation and provide many great arguments against man's account of evolution. You can also contact Independence Baptist Church with any questions you have. The easiest way to do that would be to log onto our website and click the Contact IBC Pastor link on our homepage. Again, that website address is www.independencebaptist.org. Well, and it's once again time for us to say goodbye for this week, but we do want to thank you for listening and encourage you to tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for the final message on creationism.